Did you know that in 2017, over 47,000 people died by suicide in the U.S., according to the CDC? And did you also know that in 2016, 5.5 million people with mental disorders visited emergency departments? Mental health is a serious issue in our day, and we need biblical answers to these real problems. Today, you'll hear from Kristen Clark from Girl Defined Ministries as she shares her own story with depression and anxiety after many years of infertility. I'm Kendra Semin. Stay tuned for this insightful episode.
God's Word promises in Proverbs 3:6 that if we acknowledge Him in everything we do, He will direct our paths. This statement holds true not only for America, but also for our daily lives. The gospel message is simple. Put God first in everything you do. Matthew 6:33 and Luke 10:27 say this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Next, love your neighbor unconditionally. Luke 10:27 says, "You are to love your neighbor as yourself." Next, love your neighbor unconditionally. Luke 10:27 says, "You are to love your neighbor as yourself." And lastly, fulfill the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, that is, the good news, to every creature." If you want to see America continually blessed, now is the time to step out in faith and spread the good news. This is faith in action. Wherever we go, every faithful Christian is compelled, through obedience to Jesus, to share His simple three-step gospel message all across our land. For more information, please go to the website at www.putgodfirstamerica.com. That's www.putgodfirstamerica.com.
This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Kendra, and I'll be your host for the special mental health series. Welcome to the show, listeners. Today's guest is Kristen Clark. She's an author, blogger, YouTuber, and speaker for Girl Defined Ministries. So, Kristen, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Hey, Kendra, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to get a dig into the topic with you today.
Yes, it's such a relevant topic. And why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go ahead and dive in deeper into the mental health stuff.
Awesome. Well, I am a tall Texas born and raised girl, so tall being about 6'1". So everything really is bigger in Texas, as we always joke about that. But yeah, born and raised in Texas, and then got married around 24. I've been married for about 8 years to my husband, Zach. Launched Girl Defined Ministries within that time frame. So back in 2014, just had such a passion to want to help the next generation of Christian women understand God's design for womanhood specifically, and how that affects our identity, our goals, our future, our perception of beauty and worth and value and all of these things. And so just with my own, you know, growing up life of being a Christian in today's society, I know the struggles of how hard it can be to try to find our identity in everything except God and His word and what He says. And so my sister Bethany and I just have this passion together. So we launched Girl Defined, and one thing led to the next. And we launched a YouTube channel and a blog, and then a publisher found us. And so now we have a few resources. And it's just so cool to get to, like we were talking about off air, just get to share what you're passionate about and to get to do it every day. So I absolutely love it. I've also been on a little bit on a harder note, a journey of infertility also for the past 8 years, and several early miscarriages. And so as we talk about just anxiety and mental health today, that's something, that journey of anxiety and fear and worry is something I can definitely relate to, and just learning how to surrender and find hope in the Lord, even in the midst of unfulfilled longings and questions. So I'm excited to get to talk about that. I definitely have a place in my heart that resonates with people who are going through similar things, and I'm just wanting to know, like, is there hope in the Lord? Can I find satisfaction?
Yeah, so well said. And I'm really glad that you dove right into the mental health aspect of it, talking about infertility, because I was going to ask you about that, because I love how vulnerable you are in your videos, how open you are about, like, hey, I'm struggling with this, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers and a lot of our listeners can relate to that. I've met a lot of people who struggled with miscarriages and infertility for years, and I can't imagine what that's like. So can you speak to that a little bit and just, I guess, give some encouragement and advice to people who are going through that same thing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, anytime, like, life is so filled with unexpected journeys. I think every single one of us can relate to that, of looking back and going, wow, I never expected my life to turn out this way. And that's not, this journey is not what I would have chosen for my life. It's not what I would have expected. You know, when I got married, Zach and I were excited and in love and just thought, wow, you know, we're going to have children and everything's going to be perfect. And then a couple of years went by. We weren't preventing and nothing was happening. And so that was kind of like, wait a minute, what's going on? This isn't normal. And then right around our 2-year anniversary, I found that I was pregnant. And so we were so excited and we were like, this is awesome. We've had 2 years to build this foundation for our marriage, to save money, you know, just get a little more established. We were just moving into our first house. And so everything just seemed to be lining up perfectly. And then totally unexpected, 6.5 weeks in, out of the blue, I miscarried and started bleeding and just everything all in one day, like in a few hours, and everything was over. And I just remember feeling like this, you know, not on a real gut punch, but that feeling of like every, my entire life and what I envisioned, like it all just came crashing down. And it was so hard. And I was wrestling with the Lord and just asking why, and, you know, struggling with trying to understand what was going on. And as the Lord worked in my heart and just drew me to himself during that time, and just reminded me that I can trust him with his plan for me. I can trust that he is good. And even though what's happening is so hard and isn't necessarily good, you know, in the sense, like it's part of the fall, I can trust that God is going to strengthen me and give me peace if I look to him. And so that was a really big challenge for my faith. And so as I'm walking this journey, life continues on, and 6 months later I get pregnant again. So we're like, ah, this is awesome. And I'm reading, you know, Googling everything, and every page is saying, okay, 2 miscarriages, like it's very rare. It's the percentage drops way down, you know, second pregnancies normally turn out great. And so I was just like super hopeful, but at the same time feeling like, okay, it could happen again. So how do I have this balance of joy and surrender all at the same time? Like it was just so hard in my heart. And then 6.5 weeks later to the day I miscarried again. And it was the same type of thing. And so that was definitely, that rocked our world. But one thing I noticed the second time, and I think anyone who's walking through a journey of unfulfilled longing, a journey of suffering, as we look to the Lord and we find our strength in him, we build, I say, like spiritual muscles, you know, and we see this in scripture where as we endure and Christ helps us, as we go through future trials, we're a little bit stronger than we were the first time because we're looking to God in a new and deeper way. And so that was so true for me. So the second time, it was extremely hard, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in every way, but not as hard as the first time. And so God got us through that. And I didn't know what the future held, but I was a little bit nervous. And that's where I really started having to battle anxiety, because I was wanting to get pregnant, wanting to be a mom, but then terrified of it at the same time. So again, like this weird dynamic in my heart. And so that journey of trusting the Lord and not knowing what was going to happen went on for another 6 years, and we never got pregnant. Nothing happened. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm going way too long on this story.
No, I'm sorry. I love and hearing then, your story.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, and then this year we ended up getting pregnant out of the blue, 8 years into marriage, and then miscarrying later on though. So almost out of the first trimester. And so that was just like, oh Lord, you've got to be kidding me. And here I am again, going back to his word. And one verse that has been like an anchor for my heart is Isaiah 26:3. And it says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And that was kind of like a challenge and a promise. And I don't know, all of these things wrapped in one of God saying your circumstances, it's like a tornado going on in your life. Like it's just a hurricane. It's awful. It's hard. You have so many temptations to give into fear and anxiety. But if you focus on me and my word and my truth and my character, I don't change. Your circumstances change. They're hard, but I'm constant. I'm steadfast. If you keep your mind on me, then I can trust in you and I'll be in a state of perfect peace in a sense. Not easy, but my heart will be at rest. And so just an encouragement to anyone who's listening, who's going through a really hard time and wrestling with that anxiety, Isaiah 26:3 has been such an anchor in my life.
Wow. Yeah, such a good story and such a good word. So thank you for sharing that. And I love that you brought up circumstances, because so often we are controlled by circumstances, our feelings, our emotions, or just on this roller coaster up, down, because we're not fully anchored in God, who, like you said, he is our rock. He never changes. He never leaves. He's faithful. And if we just trust in him, as opposed to putting our trust in people, like, community and people are so important. But I know I have fallen into the trap of people pleasing. And if, you know, people or even circumstances in general just let me down, then I can tend to get in this pit of just despair. And I recognize quickly, okay, like, do I have the right perspective? Am I looking at this from a biblical point of view with hope, you know, as opposed to despair? So something that happened to me recently, a couple months ago, was I had gotten in a breakup with my boyfriend of 14 months. And then a couple weeks later, a friend of mine who I had been friends with for over a year just texted me that she was going to go MIA for no reason, just out of the blue. And we had just hung out, you know, she had slept over, and I was like, okay, what happened? What went wrong? Questioning myself. And so lost two best friends in the course of a couple of weeks. And I was, I was just devastated. I was like, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what's going on. You know, why are you doing this to me, God? And I felt so lonely, because I was living on my own at the time, didn't have family around, nothing. And I was just really tested to just say, hey, am I going to be controlled by these circumstances and by what people are doing to me? Or am I going to trust in God, my rock, who is faithful? He's never going to leave me like that. He's never going to, you know, throw me or catch me by surprise, because his word stays the same. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. So it's interesting how God allows these hard times to test our faith, to grow our character, to say, hey, are you still going to love me and run after me and grow close to me despite what's going on around you? So that's something I definitely get is, you know, when your circumstances are not what you expected, how do you respond? So I was curious, as far as counseling and therapy from a Christian perspective, what do you recommend? Because I know, you know, therapy can be good for marriage and things like that, but sometimes there's a stigma attached to therapy when it comes to seeing one for mental illness.
Yeah, there for sure is. I think we live in this, at least in the American culture, where we all put on our smiles and just pretend like everything's fine, I've got it, no worries, I'm good. And the truth is, none of us are good, you know, like in the sense that none of us are just 100% thriving without any struggles, heartaches, disappointments, unfulfilled longings, inner anxieties. Like, we all have that. And so I think when I see other people stepping out and saying, hey, I'm really struggling, I'm going to go get help for this, because this is too big for me to handle on my own. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know where to turn. But they're willing to take steps to get help. I think that is so encouraging for their friends, for their family, for anybody looking on, because it's that vulnerability. It's that person being honest to say, yeah, I'm not okay, and that's okay, and I can go get help. So definitely a huge advocate for that. Now, I think I'll say a little caveat is that there, everyone can offer counsel, but it's not always going to be good counsel, right? Or helpful counsel, or even biblical counsel. So I would encourage someone who's struggling to really evaluate, who am I going to see, and look into that person, even if a friend recommended them or someone said, hey, they're awesome. Do your homework and look into their methodology, look into to what is their core beliefs as a person, and do they view the person like us as people? God made us to be completely physical and completely spiritual, right? So there are two components. And so to get the overall health of our bodies, we need physical help and we need spiritual help. And so if you're going to see someone who is only going to 100% focus on just one or the other, I think that's not as holistic as it could be. And so, yeah, I definitely would encourage that, but do your homework and make sure that it's someone who can help you as a whole person like God created us.
Yeah, super good advice. And I was looking on your blog too, and I found a post on depression, and you were kind of talking about like the root cause. And not all of our struggles are due to sin, but you suggest in your article that some of them can have a root cause of sin. And like we were talking about earlier, just having maybe the wrong perspective, putting our worth in people, resting our response in our circumstances, things like that. And so I know for me, like I dealt with anorexia when I was 12, and that had roots in idolizing people's approval of me over God's approval. My depression had roots in not feeling fully loved by anyone, so I thought I was worthless. And so what helped me get out of that was just realizing, okay, like I'm going to be held accountable to God for my life, but also realizing I can help others going through the same stuff I'm going through. So what are your thoughts on all of that, on the root cause and kind of determining that?
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because getting to the root is something I'm so passionate about, even when it comes to other things, like if you think of a diet, right, and you're, you have some sort of health deficiency, and someone comes to you and says, oh, well, you know, it's no problem, just put a little Band-Aid on it, like on your skin, and that little rash will go away. Well, what if it's an allergic reaction? What if it's something deeper, and what you're eating, what you're digesting is the thing that's creating this outbreak, versus just like, oh, put a little cream and lotion and you'll be fine, right? And I think sometimes with the problems that we're facing or the struggles that we're facing, we're seeing the fruit. So we're seeing the results, we're seeing the reaction. And then sometimes we just want to put Band-Aids on it. Like, you know, just tell yourself it'll be okay. Every day you wake up, tell yourself it's just going to be a great day. Like, okay, that sounds positive, but like you're saying in your own experience, what's the deeper cause? And is there one? And it's always worth examining, because if we don't get to the root, we're so often just going to be putting Band-Aids on our problems and changing our circumstances and even sometimes our mindsets, but we're not drilling down to, okay, I feel this way, I'm reacting this way, I'm thinking this way. So what's going on in my heart? Why am I thinking this way? Why am I acting this way? And I know with my own journey of infertility that I'm still on, you know, I still don't know what's to come down the road. I have had to so often look at my heart, because I'll have days where I wake up and I see so-and-so got pregnant or so-and-so just had their second baby. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so behind. So I start feeling depressed and I start feeling anxious. And
then it's hard to be happy and rejoice with them.
Exactly. Like I struggle to rejoice. I struggle to want to be involved. And so instead of just saying, well, it's okay, I'll get my day. One day I'm going to get pregnant, like, and telling myself promises that I don't know if that's really going to come true, I have to drill down and say, okay, where am I placing my hope? And as I look at my heart, I see, you know what? My hope isn't actually in the Lord right now. My hope is in getting pregnant, because at a heart level, I believe that if I were to get pregnant, if I were to have a baby, then I would be fully happy. I would be fully satisfied. And that's a lie, because I know from looking in scripture, and I have to tell myself these truths, that true satisfaction doesn't come from our circumstances changing. It doesn't even come from us getting what we desperately want. It comes from surrendering those things and saying, Lord, you are enough, regardless of whether I ever get pregnant and carry full term and hold a baby in my arms. I know in Christ, I can find full satisfaction. I can find full peace and fulfillment and purpose. I can still have so much purpose as a woman right now, even if that desire remains unfulfilled. And so reminding myself of those truths, that's what helps me personally just get to the root to say, okay, there's a deeper heart issue here. And if I don't address that, then I'm just going to continue to be miserable and continue to chase after the wrong solutions.
Yeah, really good. And I'm glad that we're touching on this. We also touched on therapy, but I also want to briefly touch on the subject of medication, because I know that that is a very controversial subject when it comes to Christian circles and determining, like, is this biblical? Is this what God would want for me? Is this necessary? Yeah. And I think that that's like a really tricky thing. I've talked to multiple people about this, and I think it's something where it's like you need to have a professional diagnosis to see what's going on in your brain, because there are some people who really struggle with bipolar or with OCD, and it's a really intense case. I've talked to some Christians who are like, if I go off my medication, I end up in the hospital and I just can't even like control myself. And for them, they really need it, and God has used it for good. But there are other friends of mine who are Christian who, for example, went on antidepressants and then they ended up losing all emotions. They were just like robotic and they hated it. And so for them, medication was not the answer. That was not the best thing. So I think it's really important to start with the word, start with prayer and Christian community. Like you said, identifying the root cause. And then if by then you're still lost and struggling, definitely seek out, obviously, professional help. Ideally, like we were talking about, a Christian counselor, something like that. So we were kind of talking about staying joyful when it seems like all of our circumstances are sad and discouraging. So for you, what does that look like, keeping that intimacy with Jesus on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is just reminding myself of who God is. So I love Psalm 119:168, and it says, "You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes." And for me, it always comes back to, do I actually believe that God is good? Do I actually believe that his story for my life, even the hard times, even the dark valleys, do I believe that he is going to use this for good in my life and for his glory? He's going to use it to refine me, to grow me, to draw me closer to him, because he knows he's the true source of satisfaction. I don't always believe that or remember that. He knows that. So often he uses our trials to draw us to him. So I have to come back to that question of, like, am I actually believing that God is good and that he is the source of my joy and my purpose and my peace, and in him I can find that? And so as I answer that question and go back to Psalm 119 and just remind myself, yes, he is good and he does good. Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me what you have to say in your word. Then that's like my foundation. That's my starting place. Then I can go, okay, I can trust a good God, right? Nobody can trust a God that they don't even think is good. So we have to start there. And then from there, I just know personally how, like, my emotions will basically want to lead the train every single day in my life, and how I'm feeling will want to dictate every single moment. And so I'm like, I've got to be led by truth or I'm going to be a train wreck. So for me, getting up in the morning and just spending time in the word, because if I don't know what the word says, then my heart so easily goes astray. And so I get up in the morning, I open up the word, I study different books of the Bible at different times. Sometimes I'll do a Bible study. Sometimes I'll just study a book and just kind of do it on my own. And that is such an anchor for me, because if I don't have truth in my heart, like Ephesians 4 talks about, you know, put off the old, renew your mind with truth, and then walk in that truth, put on the new, the good, the right. If I'm not spending that time investing in my relationship with the Lord, investing in his word, then I don't even know what truth is. I don't even know how to walk. I don't know how to meditate on his word or preach truth to my heart when my emotions are going haywire. You know, as women, we can all relate to our crazy emotions. So for me, that's the biggest thing, is just starting my day off in the word and in prayer.
Amen. Yeah, that's very, very good. For me as well, and also worship for me, because I grew up in a very musical family. So sometimes when I'm just commuting to and from work, I'll just belt out some worship songs, and then I just feel the peace of God wash over me, and there's nothing like just being renewed in his presence like that. So I think definitely whatever it looks like for you, spending that personal time with Jesus one-on-one is so crucial. So this is a little bit on topic, kind of. So this is talking about burnout. I was listening to a book today, and it was talking about how burnout can lead to anxiety. And it seems like busyness is almost, you know, a status symbol in our culture. And it was talking about millennials and how it causes unnecessary stress. And so that really stood out to me, because, I mean, and I'm sure you can relate to this, being on social media so much for Running Girl Defined and things like that. It's like sometimes in this day and age with technology, we seem like we can't get a break. And when we're at home and we need to be resting and spending time with family and friends and just kind of taking a breather, it's so tempting to still be working. And then that can lead to so much anxiety, and then even depression when you're just burned out. I've even talked to pastors who say the same thing, where they're like constantly on their phone, constantly trying to see who needs help, and then they burn out. And so I don't know if you've ever experienced that, that feeling of burnout, which then leads to anxiety, and then obviously having to set up boundaries so that you don't get to that point anymore.
Oh, yes. I have to do that on the regular. My husband and I, One thing that I think can be so helpful, and my husband and I kind of have this policy, we've been kind of drifting a little bit from it. So full confession here, we need to get back on it because it's so helpful when we do it. And basically we have like no technology zones in our home and our bedroom is one of those places that we have our phones for our alarm clocks and noisemakers. But other than that, we try really hard to not go in our room and just get on our phones and like stay on your phone till the last minute before you go to bed, right? Or have the TV on or just noise and content and lights. And it's like, your brain can never take a rest. And so having an area where we know, okay, this is like a quiet zone. This is a peaceful zone. This is a calming zone. This is a place where I can read, I can unwind, and I don't have to have technology blaring in my face. And so that has been really restful for us just on a spiritual level, emotional, physical level. So something I would encourage anyone listening to just figure out, like, can I have a zone in my house or my apartment or condo or wherever you're living where I just say, hey, this is going to be no technology, or even between these hours, I'm just going to put my phone down. I'm going to put it on airplane mode and I'm not going to get on it. And then something else I did recently, my husband and I went on vacation and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do zero social media the entire time. Cause I, like you said, I run Girl Defined. We have Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everything. And it can be just 24/7. And so I said, I'm just going to unplug 100%. And I turned off, like I didn't turn off my phone, but I just put it on airplane mode because we were traveling abroad and I didn't have like the cell service or whatever. But it was so amazing. Like the first day I would constantly reach for my phone, like out of habit to like get on Instagram. And then after the first day, I was like so free that when I got back, I decided I still had to get on Girl Defined when I got back. But for all my personal accounts, I stayed off for an entire month because it was so awesome. And it was so refreshing. So, you know, then I was finally like, okay, I guess I'll get back on after a month. But it's just an encouragement. I think we all, like you said, the busy is glorified. It is a status symbol. Like, oh, how are you? I'm busy. And that's just like what we all operate in. So we need to slow down, take time to rest, take time away from social media, have a quiet, peaceful place in our home where we can just read a good book or get in the word or just like listen to some worship music and just have a time for our souls to rest. I think that's so important.
Yeah, it is so addicting. Like you said, I mean, I have my phone with me all the time and it's so hard to not check email and to not check Instagram and text messages and whatever. And it really takes a toll. And you really need to think about, okay, am I balancing my life? Because obviously technology can be used for good, but then it can also be accidentally idolized. And then you're like, wait, I need to spend more time with my family and friends and just resting and, you know, either taking a Sabbath or just spending more time with God. That kind of thing is so, so important. So we're coming to the end of our time, had some really good conversation, but do you mind praying us out?
Oh, I would love to. Absolutely. Awesome. Lord God, we just come before you now, so grateful for you and your word, that you care about each one of us, that you care about our stories, you care about our pain, our struggles, our inner worries and anxieties and depression. Lord, you aren't, these things aren't bigger than you. And we give you praise that you care, that you love us, and you want to help us walk through these things, God. And I'm just grateful that you are the one in charge of our life story, as hard as it can be sometimes. You hold the pen, you have a plan, and would you help us to trust that to you, to entrust you with the things that are truly out of our control, the things that are circumstantial that we can't change. Would we seek to be faithful to you even in those? But God, would you give us a heart of trust? Like Proverbs 3:5-6 talks about trusting in you with all of our hearts, Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging you, and you will make our paths straight. And so would you give us that deep heart of trust? I know I need that every single day. Would we not be led by our emotions? Would we not be led by fear? But would you help us to be people who are anchored in your word? Give us the discipline. I know it's a daily struggle to make time, especially when we're so busy, but would you give us the perspective to see how absolutely necessary and valuable it is to be in your word, to be praying, Lord, to be worshiping you on our drives, just taking time to praise your name and reminding ourselves that you are God, you are our King, and you love us so very much, and you have a good plan for us, and would we rest in that, Lord? We love you, we give you all the praise and glory, and just praise you for loving us so deeply, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, where can our listeners connect with you online? Obviously, you have a blog, you have books, you have a YouTube channel.
Yes, we would love to connect. We spend a lot of time on Instagram. It's just at Girl Defined. Facebook at Girl Defined as well, or facebook.com/Girl Defined. Our YouTube videos, we have new videos coming out every single week, just talking about relevant topics that are geared towards women and young women. And that's youtube.com/Girl Defined, if you're catching on to the theme here. If you just search Girl Defined, it'll all come up. So girldefined.com. For anybody wrestling with anxiety, identity, wrestling with value and worth and wondering how they can find purpose. Our first book that my sister and I wrote called Girl Defined is subtitled God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And you can find that on Amazon, all major booksellers. And I would just encourage that to anyone listening who is struggling with anxiety about the future, identity, wondering how they can finally find peace and contentment in their life and their identity that God has given them. We unpack all of that. So those are a few places you can find us online and in our resources.
Super great. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and tune in next time for another episode in our mental health series on the Charisma News podcast.